So a little while ago, we started a series entitled Faith, Hope and Love. We did a talk on faith about opening your eyes, having the eyes of faith. And I know that both John and Aaron preached about hope. And Aaron talked about hope being an anchor. That your hope has to, hope is like an anchor. It stops you from drifting. You know, if you're just floating out there without being anchored to something, we just drift along. And then we started on love. And I know John would have done a lesson in the west on love. And Aaron did one here in the east and John in the west. And I was thinking about, I thought, you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, after it goes through the list on love is patient, love is kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, keeps no record of wrongs, delights in the evil, I'm trying to quote it. But anyway, in the end it says, love never fails, and it goes on about the whole idea that the greatest of faith, hope and love, these three remain, faith, hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. You know, I couldn't help but feel just to do one sermon on love does it a bit of an injustice. And not to say that both John or Aaron didn't do a great job speaking about love, because they did. But there's so much about it. And even preparing this lesson, which I've been doing all week, spent hours and hours, I realized that even two lessons is not enough. The truth is, I have 9 pages here of notes.
Come on.
And I'm telling you now, these 9 pages is about 3 sermons right here alone. So I have no idea how we're going to do this, but the more I dig into it, and the more I dig into what the Bible talks about love, the more I get convicted, and the more I realize I'm not the loving person I think I am. And just really, matter of fact, how selfish I am in my love. So I kind of stand before you a broken man in some sense. So much about love. You know, why is love so important? We understand the importance of love. We understand it. We know the power it has. We know how we feel about it. We know how important it is. We know the difference it makes in our lives and the lives of others. Songs are written about it. You couldn't put a number. Of course, I Googled it. You know, Google reckons there's about 100 million love songs. Wow. And that's probably not even a good... 100 million, what's that? 40 to 60% of lyrics mention love or relationships in their songs. That's not to mention books written, poems written, movies about it. So much about it. Because we understand it. You know, the Beatles, I think it was John Lennon, you know, penned a song. I think it was John Lennon's song. You know, where he said, all you need is love. All you need is love.
Come on.
I want to sing it together, seriously. Sing it together, ready? 1, 2, 3. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. All you need is love. Love. There you go.
Yeah.
Give yourselves a round of applause. All you need is love. And you know, and I think we write that. It's written and we can sing it. And in reality, it's true. The difference it makes if we understand true love. And more importantly, the power of God's love. We want to be loved. Most of us love to receive love, and yet so many of us struggle to give love. And we know that. We love to receive it. We know how it feels. We know from the time a child is born the difference it has, the difference it makes when it's in a mother's loving arms. Outside of God's love, there's probably no greater love than a mother's love for her child. I'll never experience that because I'm not a mother. I'm a father. I know my love, and I can't imagine carrying something for 9 months, giving birth to it. That would be something else. And I think when we talk about love, that's the love we're trying to talk about today. But one step further than that is God's love, which is unconditional. Ours tends to be conditional at times, but God is unconditional. Before we get in, I've got 4 points. I'm not going to do 4 points. We may extend this a little bit, I'll see. But I want to talk about some classic love quotes in the Bible. Matter of fact, people would tell you that the Bible is really just one big love story between God and mankind. It's one big love story where God created us and he didn't give up on us. No matter what we do, the love is still there. And if you have a mother's love or a parent's love, no matter what the child does, generally, and yeah, it can be pretty bad, but nonetheless, you will not stop loving. I had a mother who I was going to say gave birth to a rat bag, but no, she didn't give birth to a rat bag. I became a rat bag. Who didn't stop loving me, regardless. Regardless. And I was a rat bag. So today, as we just look at a couple of quotes, we're not going to be able to turn to all of them, but just we'll turn to some. And I guess if I was to give this sermon a title other than love, I'd say the master key. If you're taking notes, you want to give it a title, the master key. Because I believe love is the master key. It opens all doors. There's no door that love cannot open. And that's the beauty about what we're going to talk about. You know, in Proverbs 27:5, the Bible says, better is open rebuke than hidden love. In Ephesians 4, verse 15, it says, speaking the truth in love. That we need to speak the truth in love. In Colossians chapter 3, turn with me there. This is where we'll turn a little bit here. Sorry, I don't have the verses up on the screen. I'm not sorry because I do it deliberately. Bring your Bibles to church, people. Open them up. Look at your tablets. It's all okay. Colossians 3, beginning verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, are you there? I can still hear some rustling. Colossians 3, beginning verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I mean, that's a special verse. What an amazing verse. You know, over all these virtues, put on love. Forget. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have. And the word for grievance there simply means fault or quarrel. And I've got plenty of those that need to be forgiven of. I don't know about you. Whatever fault or quarrel. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, it's always amazing to me, you read these scriptures in the Bible and you think, yeah, 2,000 years ago, not much has changed. Here Paul's encouraging these first century Christians, hey, bear with each other. Bear with each other. And don't we need to do that? Don't we need to bear with each other as we live our lives together, even as a community? And you go in the workplace, wherever you are, you're generally bearing with someone. Whether it's a boss, whether it's a husband, whether it's a wife, whether it's this, whether it's a brother, whether it's a sister, we're all having to try and bear with each other. And that can become an issue at times. Not an easy thing to do. And as we take it to step four, before we do move our first point, here, Peter writes, verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 4. Did I tell you all that? Not the verse, but I said 1 Peter 4. Good. He says, the end of all things is near. True. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers over a multitude of sins. He says, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. First point this morning, as we talk about love and understanding God's love for sure, is a blanket of love. A blanket of love. I was almost going to call this point a car wash of love, but I didn't think you'd understand that. So, you know, in other words, your love's like a car wash. You just drive it through and everything's all clean, but I didn't think that would work too well. So let's just call it a blanket of love. You know, and again, combined with Colossians chapter 3, the Bible clearly says, you know what? Love needs to cover over things. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Last week, Aaron talked about how love is kind, it does it, all that list in 1 Corinthians 13. And here he says it just covers everything. It's this blanket that love needs to cover all these misdemeanors. When I think about this, I always think, man, it says it covers over a multitude of sins. What sort of sins? Because I would dare say to some of us, some of the things that we struggle to cover over are not even sins, if I can say that. Some of it's not even sins that we struggle to cover over. Sometimes it's just simply annoyances. Now, you may call that a sin. You ever live with someone or been around someone who just annoys you? Little annoyances, you know what I mean? Like they leave, you know, towels on the floor when you walk into the bathroom. What are you shaking your head for, John? You don't... Maria doesn't... There's no annoyances with Maria. Is that what you're saying? Okay, let's... John's giving me the big shake here with his head. No annoyances here. But you know what I mean? And sometimes we struggle with that. We struggle with sometimes if someone doesn't say hello to us. Someone's not friendly to us. And I could tell you, I could tell you this happens. This happens with me. I get this way. I can be sensitive like this. And you get a little bit annoyed. Why didn't they say hello? Why weren't they more friendly? I've done it to people. In the same way I need to cover, I know lots of people need to cover me as well. And yet when you think about it, when it comes to the church, these are the issues we have. And some of our, what would be the sins that we need to cover over? I don't know. Anger? Lying? I don't know. What would you consider some of those sins to be? Disappointments. Hurts. Expectations. It doesn't take much at times, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, for us to stop loving. And yet I think, and we can say to ourselves, I think, you know, well, how does this work? How does it work? And why is this such? Because I think this is a challenging verse. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Yeah, it's like, you know, you can't hurt me because my life, I'm like a car wash. If you struggle, if you do something to me that doesn't go well, I just run it through the car wash. I'm just running you through that car wash and it's all washed, it's all clean, it's all good. I'm not taking offense. I'm not going to take offense quickly. I'm fine. It's all good. And yet some of us do struggle. And I think the key here for us is this, I think, to understand. And I honestly believe this. It says, what does it say? It says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Love does. What we struggle with is what? We put something else instead of that word. And what is it? We think it's up to us. And I think this is where we fall down. The Bible says love covers over. We're thinking, well, but I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm not there yet. You know, in Luke chapter... Talk me to Luke for a second. Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. Beginning of verse 1. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come. But woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Pardon me. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostle said, are you kidding? No, the apostles didn't say that. But they might as well have said that. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What are you talking about? They knew what he was saying. This is not right. After the first time, I'm going away. I'm not going to want to see the guy again for a while. But if he comes back, if he tests it seven times in one day and says, hey, listen, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Okay, I'll forgive you. Most of us would give another lecture. How can you just come back in seven times in a day and make the same mistakes or keep making the same mistakes seven times in a day? He says, no, if he comes back seven times in a day and says, man, please forgive me, you're going to say, man, I forgive you. And the disciples are like, man, increase our faith. You've got to be kidding me. This is challenging. How is this possible? And yet, this is the love that Jesus wants us to have. And I'm telling you, a lot of us, we blow it way before we get to seven times in a day. It can be like once in a year, you know, once in a month or something, and we're gone. You know, we're struggling, man. I'm telling you, the car wash shut down a long time ago. There's no soap. There's no water. There's no water or soap wash. You're going, there's nothing in that car wash, mate. It's just dry brushes. But it's true if you think of it that way. Because that's exactly, I think I'm going to change my point. Forget the blanket of love. Let's go back to the car wash. I think I like the car wash better, the analogy. And like I said, for a lot of us, it's not even sin. That's the issue. And I tell you, I stand before you a broken man because I'm as guilty as anybody in this room when it comes to this. And I think the key is this. It says love covers over, not you. See, we try and find it within ourselves to have this love, and that's the way we make the... I believe, this is my heart, I believe that's where we make the mistake. Because it says love covers over, not you cover over a multitude of sins. Love covers over. And it's the idea of love. It's what love really is. Because when we try and find it within ourselves, have a guess what? Sometimes you don't what? You don't find it. You don't find it. The love's not there. You're not feeling it. And so you say, well, I don't think I can. Because I'm not feeling it. I'm not ready to forgive. And that's an interesting concept when you think about it. And a difficult concept when you think about it. But I think the challenge for us is to say, no, love. So what is love? What does the Bible say love is? What is God's love, that unconditional love? Well, then I need to practice that, whether I'm feeling it or not. That's not the issue. Because I could be waiting a long time to forgive. I could be waiting a long time to love if I'm waiting for it to happen. And sometimes we're waiting for someone else to do it, to initiate it. Well, I'll love if they love. I'll forgive if they forgive. And we get ourselves into a lot of trouble. We get ourselves into a lot of trouble when we go down that path. You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus will say, love your enemies. He says, you know, it was written in the past, you know, hate your enemies. But I'm telling you, you need to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Jesus says you've got to love your enemies. Love them. That's a blowaway concept. Again, we struggle to... He's saying you need to love the unlovable. And at times, we are unlovable. But we're not enemies, I don't think. And I think if we can't love the unlovable, the enemies among us, or the enemies out there, then do we understand God's love? Do we understand what love is if we can't even love those who are not lovable in some sense? And even though at times we're all not lovable, we need to understand God's love. Karen said to me the other day, I should have told her I was going to share this, I could get in trouble, but that's all right. Karen told me the other day, she said, you know, we're talking about this, I was talking about my lesson and what real love is. She said to me, you know I don't love you. No, I've got to go on. Sorry, it's a bit more than that. I've got to stretch it a bit more. She said, you know, I don't love you the way I loved you when we were first dating. And I said to myself, I thought to myself, where are we going here? Where is she taking us right now? And what she was trying to say was just simply that her love has matured for me. In other words, she fell in love with that good-looking man, and so the looks have disappeared, so now she's matured. She's matured now. She's matured now in her love that now she sees the heart and not the face. And so that's... Patrick, would you like to come up? Come, Patrick. Yeah. So right now... Come on. Yeah. We've got a couple of movie clips I'm going to show this morning. I love how you love the old movie clips, so we'll keep you entertained a little bit here. But here's a little movie clip from Les Mis. Jean Valjean with Hugh Jackman. So a little movie clip. And then the second movie clip, if we have time, will be from The Lord of the Rings. I said two.
You only sent one.
No, I sent two straight away. I put it underneath. Okay, sorry, we're not having two movie clips, just one.
You only sent one, I swear.
Saved your soul for God.
don't know if you've seen the movie. But obviously that was an extreme example, but I think it makes the point, though, that that's what love does. You know, he does something that ultimately will change his soul and change his heart forever. And I think that's what's in our hands. That's the love we have in our hands. And I know if we've been at the receiving end of it when it's not good, and I know we've been at the receiving end of it when it is good. And I know we struggle, and I know, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I think that's an issue as well. So we're not going to do that one now, though. That's going to be for later on, if we have time. Thanks, Patrick. Great job. Round of applause for Patrick. Let's move on, if we could. 1 John chapter 4. It's a verse that's been, I know, talked about a bit lately. I know Karen's been preaching this to the sisters. And transformed through love, or made perfect through love. And I guess we are simply going to run out of time, so we'll just fly through some of this a little bit. And hopefully we can all, and let me encourage you, and as I've sort of said, that the great thing for me and the position I have in preparing lessons and preaching the word is that it really gets me into the scriptures and digging deep. And there's so much about this. And I'm really convicted that as a church and as a people, as individuals, the difference it makes and can make if we understand God's love and we have that love in our heart. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of who's done what to us in our lives or the position we're in. And this is a great verse, and this is a challenging verse. And if we pick it up, I just put 1 John 4. Where are we? There it is. Verse 16 of 1 John 4 says, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." You know, I love this whole idea that there is no fear in love, that the perfect love drives out fear. And so much of what we do and so much of who we are at times is fear. Fear cripples us. And when it comes to loving and loving like God, probably fear is in the way of that. Fear stops us at times loving like God. Fear is the opposite to love, like darkness is the opposite to love, to light. You know, love is security. Fear is doubt, mistrust. And they're the things that come when we fear. I love the whole idea where it says that we are made perfect in love if we don't fear. We know fear stops us. We know that our upbringing has so much to do with how we are as people. You know, we can argue nature versus nurture. Without a doubt, nature's in there. But nurture has so much to do with the people that we are. If you're in a loving family where mother and father loved each other, they showed you lots of love and affection, then there's a good chance you're not going to struggle with love. You'll understand what love is. If you're in a family where there wasn't a lot of love, there wasn't a lot of affection, the mother or father may have been abusive to you, and that happens a lot, or distant from you, not involved, didn't seem to care, then that will affect you as well. And those things shape us into how we love and how we much love, because we respond accordingly. And so a lot of us, we become very conservative in how we love. We're very guarded in how we love. We make sure we don't get hurt. And if it looks like we're getting hurt, we pull back. And so we encase our hearts and all because of fear. And so fear becomes that blocker. You know, if I was to make a quick point here, if we were to jump into our next point quickly from there, I'd say to love is to risk all. To love is to risk all, but to gain so much more. Love is risky, as you will know. Love is risky. If you've given your heart to someone as a teenager or as a very young person, you know, you got hurt really bad once, the chances are you may not want to love the same way again or give in the same way to avoid love, to avoid being hurt. And so love is risky. There is a risk element to the love that we give. Because again, it's conditional. It's based on something else. And if we've had that hard time, we've had that hard experience, then we won't go there again. Unless we're really, really sure. Because we don't want to get hurt. Love hurts, people. Love hurts. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, the Bible says that God grieved. God grieved that he made mankind. And the Hebrew word there actually means to hurt. God was hurting. Why? Because he was disappointed? No, because he loved. He loved so much. This was not his plan for mankind. And you may say, well, why did he give us that freedom? Because that's love. Why did he make the tree in the middle of the garden? Because that's love. He couldn't make us like the animals. If we're made in his image, we had to have that free choice because that's what love does. Everyone's so critical of God. Well, why did God make us this way if he knew? That's the nature of love. The freedom to choose. God gave you that. And when we didn't choose correctly, he grieved. Because of love. To love is to risk all. Are you prepared to risk all? Are you prepared to love again like God, unconditionally? Even if it doesn't come back the way you want it. If it doesn't come back at all, will you be conditioned based on everybody else or will you be conditioned based on God and his love for you? Can you be secure in that regardless of anybody else or anything else? Can you be truly secure in God's love? I was going to show you the Lord of the Rings clip. You want to see it quickly? Of course you do, because you're curious what it is. Do you know which clip? Anyone know? No, hang on. So it's in the Battle of the Five Armies. Anyone, don't say it. Anyone got an idea what clip it is, just out of curiosity? Okay, Jonah, leave it. Hold it in, Jordana. You'd be the worst. Jordana, you will just blurt it out. I know you will. You hold it to yourself, dear. You just hold that little thought, Jordana. So you know which one it is, dear Jordana? Okay, let's go. Just quickly. Sorry about we can't dim. We'll try and get the lights fixed. That's not it, by the way.
Please hold your applause till the end.
small one. I guess the L's are a bit like Dr. Spock. You want a little kiss, Aaron? Close your eyes, Aaron. I guess in Lord of the Rings, the L's are a bit to be a bit like Dr. Spock. It's the first time she'd ever loved or known love. That's the point. And as you can see, when she realised what had happened, when she felt what love was and he was taken away from her, she didn't want to know what love was because it hurts so much. And I know that's a movie clip, but, you know, movies are just the extension of someone's mind anyway, right? The screenplay, the writers, they're just talking about their own lives at the end of the day. And that's the way it is. And sometimes we're like that. Take it away. Because it hurts so much. The disappointment. So we just decide at times to stop loving. You know, we can say, I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready to forgive. I'm not ready to really love like this. And all I say to you just to end up with, but God is. But God is. And God always is ready. You know, we struggle to share our faith at times, church, and I know, and that's just fear. It's funny, so the other day I was at Jared and Tamsin's house and I got on the roof to fix a roof that was leaking. And I got up to the top of this, because this whole idea of fear, I don't know what fears you have, but I know there have been times in my life when the more secure I've got in God's love, literally, my fears that I've had, don't exist anymore. I have a real fear of heights, a genuine fear of heights where sometimes I'll get sweaty palms. And there have been times in my life when I've gotten really secure and I've realised I've got so much fear in me, I need to focus on just being secure in God's love. And at those times, the fear has dissipated. The other day, I got up to the top of the ladder, I was about to jump to get onto the roof, and all of a sudden I was overcome with this fear. Like I was crippled. I was standing on the ladder and I thought, I can't get up on this roof. I'm literally really scared. I got back down. I didn't want to tell Tamsin because I thought she might convince me not to go up there. And anyway, I said, oh, yeah, look, I'm just checking it up and da-da-da. Maybe so. I literally said to her, it's time for a cup of tea. That's what I said. I said, I think it's time for a cup of tea. I was stalling massively. And then I said, you know what, I'll just wait for Jared on Sunday. We'll go up there together. You know, I can help. You know, he needs to learn to get up on the roof anyway. I was doing all this stuff. I was doing all this stuff to knock it on the roof. And I remember thinking to myself, this is ridiculous. Get up on the roof. But you know what? I realized I was just mega amounts of insecurity in my life. I'm thinking, this is crazy. And I prayed to God, literally prayed to him. I said, God, I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be afraid. How many be correct? How many just be secure in you? Because I know if I am, and this may sound stupid. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But I know for me, I got up on the ladder. I got up and I was totally fine. Literally, the fear was gone.
Come on.
You know, I was going to make the point, we struggle to share our faith because there's so much fear. So much fear of rejection. So much fear of what people will say, what people will think. And I know one thing for sure, if we have God's love in our heart, we understand and secure in that. All fears will dissipate. Because the one who fears is not made perfect in love. I believe love is the master key. Let's use God's love in our lives to open all the doors that may seem unopenable. To God be the glory. Let's stand one final song. Thank you.